In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Man is distinct from the animals. Man is created in the image and likeness of God, the animals are not. Man has a body and a soul, the animals only have bodies. So at the resurrection of the dead, man will be raised to live forever. The animals will not be raised. Man is protected by the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, but the animals are not. God gave us rule and dominion over them, and he also gave them to us for our food. That doesn't mean we can abuse them, though. One other point of distinction. As God has a word, so also men have words. The animals do not have words. They certainly communicate with beautiful, majestic sounds, but they do not have words. As God created the heavens and the earth by his word, so also by our words, we create relationships. We construct the world around us. Nations are reconciled, and we even come to explain and to know about ourselves and the world around us. The fact that we have words is a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift from God. That is also why the Tower of Babel was so destructive. Man lost his words. The deaf man had no words. He had a speech impediment. He had no words because he had not heard how to speak. Certainly he could communicate, but that does not make one fully man. Let me explain. As leprosy is an image of original sin, so also this deaf, mute man is an image that man has lost the image and likeness of God. It's a picture of what the fall has done to us. The man is not sinful because he has such ailments, but he is a picture of something greater than himself. The fall has made man more like the animals than like God. Recall Satan's lie. You can be like God. And the exact opposite actually happened. Men still speak words, but listen to how they speak, whether it's their tone or even the words they say. Listen to the clickbait hyperbolic speech that men use. Listen to the lying words of both politicians and their supporters when everyone knows full well they won't be able to implement all that they promise. And for some reason, we are okay with that. Words are not accidental. Scripture says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So anger, name-calling, and vengeance fills the air because anger, hatred, and envy fills man's heart. Where did the image and likeness of God go? Where is the love that covers over a multitude of sins? Where are the kind and compassionate words of our Lord? Man had not heard them. Therefore, man does not speak them. He does not know the truth, so he cannot speak according to the truth. Fallen man still communicates, but it is in the manner of this deaf man, with a great speech impediment. So man uses his fallen words to try to create the reality that he desires in his own heart, which usually brings about destruction. Man uses words to push forward the idea of evolution. And what has happened? We are treated no differently now than the animals. As long as we have a purpose, we can stay. But as soon as we're an inconvenience to someone, whether young or old or in between, we should go away. Man creates by his word his own sense of this reality around him. And it fills him with anxiety and fear and worry. Yes, there are things to be anxious about. Troubles in life. But man falls headlong into such things. and by his exaggerated speech actually makes things worse. He doesn't live in God's reality, but he tries to live in the reality that he creates for himself. Words carry great power, both to create and to destroy. And our words have done the same. We have not always spoken with the love and kindness of Christ. The grudges we hold, the quick tongue we employ, does more damage to ourselves and to society than any missile or legislation ever could. We are called to speak the truth at all times, but like this deaf man, we forget. And we speak from our own heart rather than speaking from the Word of God. In other words, we forget what the truth is. The world needs friends like this man's friends. Friends who do not try to fix the problem, only to make matters worse, but friends who bring them to Jesus. You cannot fix this world either, but you can bring someone to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Well, look at what he did for this man. He took him away by himself and dealt with him one-on-one. Jesus doesn't treat anyone like a group as simply one among many, but he deals with each individually. He put his fingers into the man's ears, for Christ came to open the ears of the deaf. He spit, for from his mouth is great power, a sharp two-edged sword that accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it. He touches the man's tongue, for Christ will open up his tongue. And finally, he sighs as he gazes up to heaven. For he had been sent from God the Father to carry out the work of redeeming fallen man. It brings him no joy and delight to see his creation languishing under any form of ailment. And so he speaks, Ephatha. And the deaf man hears, and the mute man speaks. The word of Christ is his power to accomplish and to create the reality that he desires, a reality where fallen man is restored, a reality where all ailments, troubles, and pains are no more. So Christ speaks. And then he told everyone who witnessed it to be silent. It's counterintuitive. They want to tell all the awesome works that God has done. And Jesus says, no. Faith always follows the words of Christ, even when it seems counterintuitive. So these crowds show their lack of faith. He did not release their tongues, and yet they spoke anyways. So they don't speak the word of God, but they speak from their own desires. They speak what they think is good and right. So their praise of Jesus is nothing more than the praises of men who glory in accomplishments, not who glory in the foolishness of God. They're awestruck and amazed and astonished, but they are not converted. If they had been, then they would have followed their father Abraham, "Go sacrifice your son," a counterintuitive word. And yet he went in faith, knowing that God is good. The crowds refuse to follow the faith of Abraham. Faith clings to the word of God at all times, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. Christ did not want this miracle published just yet. It wasn't for everyone yet. He first wanted Pilate's words to ring out throughout the world, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Pilate nailed that above Jesus' head. This is who Jesus is. This is what defines him. He did not come to open up ears. He came to open up his side so that fallen man might be redeemed. He did not come to release a tongue, but he came to release man from the bondage of sin by the forgiveness of sins, so that paradise might be received. So the cross explains this miracle. The man is an image of one who has lost the likeness of God, one who is steeped in sin and bound by the devil. How does Christ set him free? By his cross. So the miracle cannot be fully comprehended until you know how Christ has accomplished man's salvation. Our Lord came not so we might have a few extra years of life on earth, but so that we might be free from all sin and our lips might be opened, so that we might be freed from the devil's lies and we might speak the truth. And that happened at the cross. The cross reveals that man is not simply an animal, but man is in the image and likeness of God. The cross reveals that man is not one among many other species, but he is like God, a unique, special creation of God, uniquely redeemed by God. So thank your friends and family. Whoever it was, however long ago it was, thank God that they brought you to Jesus. They knew what ailments and difficulties you had. Maybe you were focused on the external problem. They saw down deeper into the binding of your tongue and to deaf ears that did not know God's love. Thank God that they prayed for you and they brought you to Jesus. For when your ears were filled with the world's lies and you could not hear, Christ took you away by himself and stuck his watery fingers into your ears. Through water and the word, faith was created. Through water and the word, you heard God speak, "I baptize you." And you became God's beloved. Ears were opened. A new heart was given. New desires, new longings that are once more in the image and likeness of God. And your tongue was loosened. You believed the truth, therefore you also spoke that truth plainly. You confessed the goodness of God. And Christ doesn't tell you to be quiet. As the word "go sacrifice your son" was a particular word for Abraham, so also this word for silence is a particular word for that crowd at that time. By the way, St. Mark wrote it down so the entire world would know what Christ had done. Because Christ has died and Christ is risen, so ears are opened and tongues are released. Go and always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, crucified for your sins, raised to life for your justification. You are in God's image once more. Thanks and praise be to God. The cross explains this miracle. As the word enlightens your heart and your mind, so also now you speak with greater clarity and accuracy. You stop trying to create the reality you desire, but you speak the reality that God has spoken to you. You speak about the beauty of God's created world, and find joy and delight in the things in this world. You speak about the goodness of the one who came down from heaven to redeem you from sin and death so that you might be with God forever. You speak about the goodness of God in your life, even though you do not see it. Even though it may feel like Abraham, "Go sacrifice your son," or like this crowd, "Don't tell anyone." It may not seem to be helpful in your life, and yet you speak the reality that God has spoken to you. You speak about the order of God's creation and your place within that order. For God's love is not an abstract love, and his goodness is not an abstract goodness. Where he has placed you is where you find joy. The more and more that you hear and study God's word, the more and more he opens your ears, more and more your tongue speaks with clarity and accuracy. And the more you are astonished at the wonderful things God has done for you. He has not failed you. He has not set you up. He is good. He is loving. For as the cross must explain this miracle, so also his cross and resurrection explains your life. So bless the Lord, you saints of God. Praise his holy name. Do not forget his benefits. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he restores, he crowns your head with life, mercy, and love. He satisfies you with every good thing. Bless the Lord, you people of God. Sing his praise and tell the next generation the wonderful works of God. Your tongue is open. Your ears are open. Speak his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.